Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, it is 9:40 on this Monday morning here on WPHM. Boy, do we hate talking about money. I mean, we'll talk about anything. We'll talk about our health, all kinds of personal details. We share everything online. But we just don't like talking about money, and women in particular. Our next guest is the founder and CEO of Own Your Destiny. It provides financial coaching and empowerment programs to help women gain confidence and knowledge that they need to be able to confidently have conversations about money. The book that she has written is called You Are Worthy, Change Your Money Mindset, Build Your Wealth, and Fund Your Future. Kelly Holland on the line with us right now. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Paul.
We do hate talking about money for some reason, don't we?
It can be a really uncomfortable subject for a lot of people. In one study, this shocked me when I read it, but 6 out of 10 women said they would rather talk about their own death than talk about money.
Why do you suppose that is?
Well, it feels very personal. I think also we ascribe a lot of meaning to money that, you know, we give it a lot of emotional weight. Mm. So we can, if we feel like we're not doing well financially, we might be ashamed of that. If we feel like we're better off than our neighbors, maybe we don't want to be that, you know, we think maybe that would look annoying. You know, if we feel like we don't have the skills to take care of our money, that can make us anxious and insecure, and who wants to go there? There are all kinds of reasons.
Women in particular seem to have insecurity, and yet women are the financial planners for a lot of families. They're the breadwinners in many families, sometimes the single breadwinner, and really need to have a good knowledge of money, don't they?
That's so true, Paul. Yes. Women, more and more women are becoming breadwinners. I think close to half of mothers at this point are sole or primary breadwinners. I mean, it's astonishing. And women are represent more than half of college students. We are making great inroads and great progress. And yes, on the household level, women tend to make the majority of financial decisions. When it comes to long-term investing decisions, less so. And a lot of that has to do, well, some of it has to do with tradition and beliefs and things like that. But we also know that women tend to be less confident about what they know about managing money, particularly when it comes to investing. I saw this in research of my own, and many other studies have seen this too. Some of this is because we legitimately do tend to receive less financial education. Parents tend to talk to boys more than girls about money growing up, and they tend to talk to girls about micro ways to save and budget, and with boys more about growing money and investing it. So women do often grow up knowing less. And then, of course, there is all this messaging in society about women being irresponsible overspenders. And it's hard for a lot of us to emerge as adults and feel really capable in this space.
It's funny. I mean, those 20th century stereotypes still exist. Ricky Ricardo going out and earning the money as a band leader, Lucy spending too much money. I mean, it has stayed with us even well into the 21st century, hasn't it?
It really, really has. Try it. Google the word investor and search images and see how many women you see. It's kind of shocking.
Oh, wow. Interesting. What was your inspiration for writing this book, in particular the title, You Are Worthy?
Well, I wrote the book. I'll take that in two parts. I wrote the book because both as a coach for women and as a journalist, I knew the data on women's financial challenges. So apart from the emotional, of course, we know there's the gender pay gap and women spend more time out of the workforce. So I knew there were challenges to be overcome. But I also knew that simply communicating best practices was not enough. I'd been doing that as a journalist, and I saw that there was something else that had to be unlocked for women in order for us to really embrace our capabilities in this space. So that's when I started coaching and helping women understand their true strengths and build the skills they need to achieve their life goals. And the book really is an outgrowth of both of those things. Just what I've learned about helping women feel welcome in this space and capable, and the lessons I can share with the communications habits that I learned as a journalist, making sometimes complicated things more accessible. So my goal is to have a book that is not just educational or informative or how-to, but also encouraging, empathic, a book that a woman can pick up and feel like, oh, this is for me, and she sees me, and I can do these things. So the title, You Are Worthy, has to do with that as well. Worthy is a play on both self-worth and net worth. Because when you have stronger self-worth, you're better able to build net worth. Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense. Why don't they teach this stuff in school? I mean, any woman or man that learns about how to invest, how to balance a checkbook, how to put together a household budget, learns it from somewhere other than their public school. Why is that?
You know, I'm going to resist climbing up on my soapbox and screaming about this,
okay,
but I think
fair.
It's extremely frustrating that schools don't do this. There are some states, I happen to live in one, where some kind of personal finance education is required for graduation. But most states don't require that. And even when states do, you might get a great teacher or you might get a gym teacher who got roped in to do this thing and would rather be anywhere else. It really is luck of the draw, even at a time when so many kids emerge from high school, they're making a huge financial decision about their future education, and they don't necessarily have the tools.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess I did get on my soapbox.
No, that's fine. I was inviting you to get on the soapbox because I'm right next to you on that soapbox. I do think that Michigan recently made that a requirement or introduced it in some way. But again, you're right. It's very late to the game. When we talk about financial wellness, what are we really talking about? What does somebody need to do to say that they have financial wellness?
Well, financial wellness to me is different from wealth, or financial well-being. It's another way to think of it. So it's the ability to live within, to live on what you earn, to have enough to cover your necessities, and, to be saving, and to have enough, or to be on track to have enough to achieve the things you want in life. And I'm not talking a beach house in Malibu. I'm talking financial security in old age, or a vacation, or, helping your grandchildren with college, or paying off your parents' mortgage. These are, these kinds of life goals are really some of the most heartfelt ones. And more of us than we think can get to a place to make that happen if we adopt healthier habits and continue them on repeat.
Yeah, absolutely. What advice would you have for somebody that finds themselves living paycheck to paycheck, not sure where retirement is going to come from, let alone paying for their children's education? They're maybe stuck in this spot where they are, awake at night thinking about their financial situation. What advice would you have for those folks?
Well, I'll give you two answers to that. The first is try and notice what's going on with your money or what, before it happens. Instead of looking back and regretting and feeling bad, try and set intentions going forward for how you want to use your money. You may find, as you notice where your money's going, that more than you think is going to things that you don't really value all that much, and you might be able to redirect that. And then a second thing I would offer up, so that put intention going forward as to how you want to use your money, and then to realize those plans, here's where you can automate. And so if you say, if your paycheck is, $300, you can automatically transfer 30 of those dollars into a savings account. You can set it up with your bank. So it just automatically transfers. And human nature being what it is, we will tend to live within those altered circumstances of slightly less cash flow rather than go through the effort of taking down the automation. Mm-hmm. So if you have an intention and you act on it by setting up this automated thing, your money will do the work for you and you don't have to make the decision with every paycheck. And before you know it, you will have an emergency savings cushion, and I'd call that the best sleeping pill on earth. It's really incredibly helpful.
A lot of it is psychological, isn't it?
A lot of it is psychological. Truthfully, this is something that you can take charge of. Money is a tool at the end of the day. It's just a tool for living. But like any tool, like your bicycle, like your phone, You just need to keep it in good working order so it can serve you. And it's easier than you think.
Great advice. The book is called You Are Worthy by Kelly Holland. Kelly, do you have a website where people can check in with you as well?
I do. The easiest place to find me or to order the book or anything is www.kellyholland. And the trick is Kelly has two E's, KelleyHolland.com. You can find all that. There are resources there to help you take charge of your money and links to buy the book. And you can also follow me on social, on Twitter and LinkedIn, and find out about my events and readings and all kinds of stuff. And radio shows like this one.
There you go. All right. Good stuff. Important stuff. Kelly, appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Paul. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.